The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this morning in the doctrine of testing. We'll pick up Roman numeral 6, page 4 of our notes. Local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that's been established for believers to assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the truth of Bible doctrine. This done through the proper protocol in regards to the Scriptures in and of itself, the proper function of the communicated gift, i.e. the pastor-teacher, and then the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, coupled with the content of the Scripture, the Old Testament and New Testament combined, that which we refer to as Bible doctrine. With these things in place, then we can come and learn God's plan for our life. We can have the sanctified boast, if you will, ultimately, that we know and understand God and that we are serving Him correctly and appropriately according to the divine guidelines He's otherwise provided for us. So as is our custom, we'll make sure that we all benefit once again this morning from the study at hand, give you opportunity to rebound if necessary under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, so we can be once again enlightened to the truth of His Word in this capacity. So with that in mind, we'll start with our usual normal word of prayer. Father, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. We thank you for these words. We thank you for the revelation of these words to those who are seekers of you, so that we can know and understand you and your plan. We thank you for your perfect plan and all that you provided for us, spiritually and otherwise, so that we can serve you and function appropriately before you in regards to our Christian way of life, that we can engage in action with honor, glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity, as well as receive the glory ourselves in regards to our own application of your word. All this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Testing, testing, testing. You do the doctrine, it happens. You don't do the doctrine, it happens. Testing is just a part of life. All individuals in time experience testing, believer and unbeliever alike. The source of testing comes from man to man. God tests man, and then the one that is not so good, generally speaking, is man testing God. We test things in life. Obviously, you don't have to be a believer to test things, to critique and evaluate otherwise regards to things in this respect. So testing is a part of life. Jesus Christ himself in his humanity was tested at the first advent to a great degree, and he was the proved, validated cornerstone in regards to being the Messiah, proof positive that indeed he was the Son of God, evidence, tangible evidence given through the testing of his humanity in this respect. Testing itself is very diverse. It can come from many areas. Obviously, the general areas is financial, health, relationship, these types of tests that we experience in life. However, tests can come through all different avenues, perspectives. Sometimes testing comes in the form of divine discipline. It remains a test because it's a test to see if the volition of the individual will respond to God's discipline or wrath otherwise, and come to a change of mind and repentance and get their life together spiritually otherwise in this respect. So testing saturates basically the life of mankind. Believers are not immune to testing. It is a fallacy to propose that somehow your spirituality is determined in regards to tests or lack of tests. This is not true. you can be the most adjusted believer walking on this planet, i.e. Jesus Christ, not a believer, but just a person walking on this planet, and you're still tested. So in order for us to maintain a proper balance in our perspective in regards to our life, we got to recognize these things. Testing in and of itself, we generally have no say in regards to the kind of test that we may face. God may bring any kind of test upon us in this respect, though obviously we do have impact in regards to how we deal with it, and whether the testing comes through a source of deserved or undeserved suffering in that respect. So Roman numeral 6, page 4 of our notes, deals with testing as applied to us as believers. So a believer should be put on notice that the Christian way of life is saturated with testing. And we do mean saturated. Is we throughout our life, every day of our life in some form or fashion. Acts 14, 21 through 23. The early church was put on notice, and they experienced their own aspects of tests in their time of history, packaged in the way things came about with respect to this time, Acts 14, 21. And after they, the apostles, in regards to Paul and company, in their ministry, had proclaimed the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. Many came to positive volition under their ministry. Phase 1, phase 2, as it may be appropriate in this respect. Disciples obviously emphasizes a phase 2 positive volition as these became followers of them. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, those still hanging in there with doctrine, trying to stay the course. Obviously, we're designed that we need to have encouragement in spite of the tests that we have to take on a demeanor or an attitude. Somehow I don't need anybody or anything in regards to handling these things is really not healthy spiritually, emotionally, generally speaking, in this regards. So we all need encouragement. That encouragement comes through for the positive adjusted believer, the truth of Bible doctrine, as it may be communicated through their right shepherd, their right pastor, teacher, or other positive volition around them. And to stay the course, see, strengthening them, verse 22, to continue in the faith. In the faith, faith there is passive. It looks at the content of Scripture. It's so easy to become distracted in regards to the cosmos and the tests otherwise around us in regards to our lives that Bible doctrine starts taking a back seat in regards to our priorities in life, in regards to application to these things. We are here to provide encouragement for any who will give an ear to stay the course. Not to capitulate to your sin nature, not to start adhering to the human viewpoint reasoning of those who are otherwise not plugged into doctrine or sound on doctrine themselves, and to let these things influence us in regards to distraction from why we are here. We are here to prepare ourselves for an eternal life that is forever. And in that regards, it obviously will mean a big difference in regards to how we spend eternity with respect to being with our Lord and Savior for this aspect of regards to our existence, whether or not we will be rich in regards to the wealth of SG3, etc., and position, prestige, authority, or whether or not we'll end up being peons in regards to our eternal life, as most believers will end up being because of their maladjustment to their phase two, not willing to apply doctrine in fellowship according to the dictates of God, rather than running off and doing their own thing, as the fundies like to do, religious types like to do, insert their traditions of men, their own ideas, their own morality, sense of righteousness, rather than letting the veracity and truth of Bible doctrine under absolute righteousness reign in regards to their lives. Encouraging them to continue in the faith. Don't jump ship. You will regret it if you do. And saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Recognizing that God recognizes all the tests that we go through in order to hang in there with doctrine. And obviously for the positive adjusted believer, while we all have the same types of tests as others do under common human problems or chips in life, it still is unique to us because these tests, from Satan's perspective, from the world's perspective, is designed to distract us and take us away from doctrine and go off on a different course. That is part of doing the battle in the angelic conflict. Stay in the course. With all the human viewpoint shells and shots being taken at us in regards to the cosmos, the cosmos doesn't understand these things. They don't understand real commitment in regards to God's plan. They may give it as lip service. They may, at their convenience, accept and embrace certain aspects of it, but not in regards to the entire council. See, we are here to follow Paul's example, and that is to pursue the entire council of Bible doctrine. And that puts us in a different level, even within the Christian world. So to keep the faith and not let negative volition, the SCA, deter us, in spite of whatever pressures, which are real, that come upon us in regards to our Christian life. Verse 23, when they appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Obviously establishing churches, the necessity of the elders, be it deacons and communicators, etc., as was their charge. And you commend them to God, obviously, in regards to their present manifestation of postulation and adherence to God's plan. You commend them to God. See. Through many tribulations, not just a few. You don't become discouraged. Don't start trying to look at life through rose-colored glasses. See. Or else you will find yourself greatly disappointed and off balance otherwise. These things that we experience in our life, again, are designed to test the integrity of what we claim to be, and that is positive to God and Bible doctrine in regards to our lives, in regards to the priorities and establishment of it. We all have SCAs. We all stumble in many ways as we go through that. But the evidence, the marker of those who are truly positive is their perseverance in regards to their priorities under NPR, application of doctrine, etc., in regards to their lives. See. What sets apart a positive, just believer that may stumble in the same areas that reversionists stumble in an incidental fashion is that they continue to adhere to Bible doctrine. They continue to seek God, see, in that fashion, in that category. B, believers should be informed that testing can come in almost any form and that it is not limited in one particular area. James 1:2. just going to be in health, prosperity, financial, jobs. It comes in all kinds of ways. Consider every joy, my brothers, when you encounter various tests. Various, see. The multiplicity, the diversity in regards to our tests. You can be applying doctrine in fellowship and injure yourself while you're doing it. What a test. And you hear people go, well, it doesn't pay to apply doctrine. Look at this. Give me a break. No. That happens, see. And the test is, well, all right, after you say a few choice words and get out of fellowship, are you going to get back in fellowship and continue on? If you do. I know some of you great believers, that just brushes right off. You know, just brush it off. No big deal. So, anyway, various tests. We all face them. And come in any form or fashion. Out of the clear blue. Satan has your number. Don't worry about it. He'll send to you whatever distraction he thinks and knows that your SCA has an affinity for. He'll use his agents, that negative individual or whatever, see, and their SCAs to appeal. May even bring them within your own periphery, family, or company otherwise. Be on guard. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice. The sphere of in this is the potential of our inheritance, our eternal inheritance, for hanging in there and doing it right. That will be distributed at the banquet seat, reward ceremony, at the rapture, and carried with us for the rest of our eternal existence. In this, you greatly rejoice that God's grace is so magnificent. It extends beyond all boundaries of almost logic in regards to truly what we are in nature and our provision in regards to God's plan otherwise. That God's grace, because we are willing to line up with His Word, is going to reward us over and beyond just getting into heaven. See? So in this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, first class condition, and it is, you have been distressed by various trials. Even though looks at the contrast, if you will, almost a paradox in regards to what we recognize and know and the emotional response that you would have with happiness, etc., in regards to these things and the reality of life around us and all the pressures and persecutions we may face otherwise to get there, see. Like being on that road to a vacation that you have really been looking forward to, and you just can't wait to get there. But then you have all kinds of tests getting there on the road. See, car breaks down, can't find a mechanic. It's a blizzard, even though you're going snow skiing anyway. Can't see the road. You know, faith rest or whatever, health test. But then you get there. And you go, it's worth it. See, whatever you endure is worth it. And it truly will be that way in phase three. So see, believers should not be shocked by the form or intensity of testing, recognizing anything can happen. Again, the 1 Peter 4:12 verse, we've looked at it a couple times in the doctrine. The fiery ordeal that comes upon us. The over and beyond norm types of testing. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Again, nobody's immune to testing. The early Christians faced it just like we do in their own realm. Packaged in that time in that way. But the types of tests are still remain the same. The persecution, the constant distractions of others around them, not knowing in regards to Paul and company, in regards to believers, because, you know, they couldn't text them. And so they had to obviously deal with the situation in another way, and that is through sending messengers and others. Verse 1, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen again and encourage you as to your faith. The same principle we saw earlier, to be strengthened and encouraged. Obviously, if you don't come to doctrine, you will not have that encouragement. You will not receive that kind of encouragement. And then verse 3, the purpose so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions in regards to the testings, obviously, that they heard through word of mouth in regards to Paul and company, their right shepherd. These saints had a real affinity for their shepherd and concerned about him just as he was concerned about them. And he does what he can to eliminate and alleviate these concerns. For yourselves know that we have been destined for this. They'd already been informed, taught through doctrine, that, hey, part of their ministry is going to include testing, great persecution in the early church. And Paul, obviously, was going to get, if you will, a little over and beyond what most people get in regards to his ministry under testing. So these things occur. These things happen. Testing is a natural phenomenon occurring in the Christian way of life, designed for spiritual advancement for any that intends to make the maturity adjustment. Whether or not the tests are beneficial in regards to one's life is determined upon their drive and commitment in regards to being successful at what they are pursuing. And it's no different in regards to doctrine. And for us, the benefit in regards to the test is that it produces spiritual advancement, spiritual matriculation as part of the growth process. Romans 5, 3 through 5. The results of testing in life has favorable consequences on behalf of those who are positive if they will orient and acclimate and stay the course otherwise. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, our common human problems, our testings. See. And the exalting, obviously, doesn't mean that they're doing backflips as they are in pain, being beat with the rod, whipped how many times, shipwrecks, you know, all the testings and stuff that Paul went through. But within the mental attitude to the spirit, human spirit, and fellowship, they recognize and appreciate greatly what is going on in their lives, under God's advancing His plan through them in this fashion and in this way. Often people, under these kind of tests, provide unbelievable witnesses and encouragement to others as they hang in there. And here, the exalting is in regards to having that frame of reference, having that knowledge, knowing that tests, tribulations, brings about patience, perseverance, rather than being impetuous. Impetuous is generally a mark of the immature or the young adolescent type in age. Just can't wait. Want everything, you want it now. See? To be patient. And that testing produces that patience. Not get wrapped around the axle over things. To have RMA, relaxed mental attitude. Keeping your sin nature overruled. Otherwise, knowing God has perfect time in regards to things with respect to deliverance. The other aspects in regards to the test that he's going to constantly deliver throughout the test to keep you going and above water and all these other things, even though it may not be to what we might think is best for ourselves. God knows. So the result of the testing for the positive believer is a frame of reference that you're building up a great immunity to the impetuous nature of the sin nature. Patience. See, that's your prescription, to be patient. And patience, with that comes proven character. One who is calm, collected, doesn't have the constant knee-jerk reactions in regards to things that go on in life, etc. People look at that and they generally are looked upon as having strong characters. See, like in a time of battle and things of this nature. Not to immediately jumping in and doing something irrational or rash in regards to a situation. But to be patient and to evaluate, critique, etc. And it gives evidence of one's character, one's spiritual character. And with proven character, then hope. Hope here isn't wishful thinking. Hope, Elpis in the Greek, and it's used in the Scriptures, New Testament, looks at a confident expectation. See. Through the maturity matriculation, through the maturity adjustment, with that patience and evidence of character, what you see is a person who becomes very confident in regards to their life. No matter all the crap that may be happening on around them otherwise. See. You see them. You run across them. If you haven't, you'll run across them throughout your Christian life. Those stalwarts of the faith, as they are often perceived to be. Like Paul, just you look at it and you see all this stuff that he went through. And yet he just straight as an arrow. And you go, how in the world? Well, it's because he went through this process, and this is the development of his spiritual being, and the result of it, the confident expectation. And verse 5, and hope does not disappoint. It doesn't disappoint because the confident expectation is based on God's promises in regards to persevering and enduring under testing. Through terms of SU3, etc., in that respect, as well as phase 2 blessings that will be associated with it. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's divine love. God's affinity for the positive believer is expressed in one term that every one of us should be able to have a great appreciation for, and that is, they are his friend. See, that's his love for these types. Obviously, his love is applied across the board. We understand that. But the love of God is exceeding in manifestation and benefit in regards to the positive adjusted believer. And that has the result in regards to the individual's expression and application of the doctrine as it courses through their veins. The positive adjusted believer, that's what their life is all about. It's about Bible doctrine. Yeah, all the other things are there. Yeah, they appreciate every thing of life otherwise as anybody else would. But Bible doctrine runs through their veins. See, it is the pulse of their life. You want to use a picture, visualize the heart in regards to its metaphorical use here. And it's all made possible because one maintains the fastidious rebound technique in regards to their Christian life, keeping their STA overruled. They take advantage in regards to God's love, which is given in the form of, in part of God the Holy Spirit, to deal with our sin natures. If you're so wrapped up in your test detracted from Bible doctrine, then you're probably that distracted in regards to your rebound too. These things just fit. How do I know? Because I've been there. I know. You get wrapped up in it, and then after a while you go, oh crap, why haven't I rebounded? See. So, it all goes hand in hand. His plan is perfect. You can have the result as noted or not. And then, again, back to James 1. There we saw, read verse 2 earlier. Also 3 and 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, the same type of, if you will, the edification build-up, building complex in regards to the Christian life as it's been expressed by others. And let endurance have its perfect result. That patient enduring, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That you reach the status of maturity and you complete your course. That's a good way to look at complete. Yeah, with all of our imperfections. See, with all our imperfections, you can still become perfect and complete. And that's all made possible under the umbrella of God the Holy Spirit under His filling ministry, experientially. So the immediate result is evidence that positive volition exists as manifested in ongoing perseverance. Part of the testing, producing patience, perseverance, the test is a tangible standard of which one is validated in regards to their own commitment and Bible doctrine and application. The hanging in there. Become hell or high water scenario in life. The committed believer stays the course. They don't run away from doctrine. They hang in there with it. They don't abandon the local church. They remain attached to it. And they remain committed under their NPR. I've often said that the first line of evaluation in regards to one's claim of positive volition is look at their NPR. If it's not consistent, obviously we recognize tests in life in this regard, But if it's not consistent, the person doesn't maintain it, they've split from it, then obviously their claim of adjustment otherwise, phase two, is spit in the wind. Duck. Woo! Here we go. This is not a new doctrine. The same doctrine I've been teaching since the day I walked in behind this pulpit. It's a doctrine that most of us, all of us, if not all of us, have grown up on. So, the importance of face-to-face teaching. And when you start seeing those struggles in your life, that should be a warning sign in regards to your own spiritual well-being. If you've had the test, well, fine, we understand. But it's something that we have to constantly stay keep in front of us in regards to our thoughts and our prayers. To not let these things distract us and whatever it is, rob us of the prize. See? So after the remote result, the far-off result, naturally it brings about the state of spiritual maturity, being perfect and complete. Over time, all this impression in the Christian world, the Christian life, is a matter of just sporadic, momentary elation, the rah-rah-rah technique, the emotional high of going to a church or whatever they may sponsor. No, the true Christian life is the consistent day by day by day trek in regards to the cosmos, hanging in there with doctrine and maturity, making the maturity adjustment. It's just like growing up in the physical world. You're 5, and not until 50 years later will you be 55. See. It takes time. Gee, those that acclimate to testing, applying sound doctrine, are promised SG3 with those holding to the end promised the wreath of life. Romans 5 again. 2 through 3, we saw that. James 1:12. Blessed is a man who endures or perseveres under testing. You want to count yourself as blessed, then you hang in there with it. See, you endure. For once he has been approved, he will receive the wreath of life. The ultimate outcome is the most prestigious reward bestowed upon a believer for all eternity. The wreath. The grand prize. The trophy. The gold medal. And all the accolades that'll be associated with possessing that wreath. He will receive the wreath of life which the Lord has promised those who love Him. Those who are willing to apply divine good in regards to their life and persevere under testing throughout in that capacity. They're the ones who truly love Him. So, 1 Peter 1:7. That the evidence or proof of your faith be more precious than gold. We all like, in the world, like to put value on physical things, which they do have value. And one of the most precious commodities has been that of gold. Even before it is recognized in technology in regards to its benefits with respect to electricity, technology, and all these other things. Gold's always been held as something that one wanted and attained and used as currency and things of this nature throughout history. Unless you get to enjoy the fiat system, you know, otherwise. This is more precious than gold, which is perishable. Each and everything we do, obtain, possess in time. When we exit this world, it'll be left behind. Truly, you'll look back on it in regards to these things and why you may know, oh, that was cool, all right. It was nothing. None of these things are truly in and of themselves going to support you in regards to the Bema, in regards to your own SG3 package, in regards to your eternal existence. So that is keeping things in perspective. More precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, as our works will be tested at the Bema, if you will, as if by fire, as Paul says in Corinthians. They'll be judged. May be found a result in praise and glory and honor for the one concerned at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That revelation is none other than the rapture. Revelation 2:10. In regards to the church of Smyrna, during that era, that local church, during the era of the early church, they were in a geographical location that was intensely hostile, if you will. You know, your churches were in different geographical locations. You may have different reactions from the society around you, depending upon where you live. And Smyrna was in a situation where they're going to face unbelievable tribulation in this respect, as we recall going back through it. And the admonition, the words of encouragement, verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Don't overreact emotionally and get under sin fear. In regards to, your imagination can always get the best of you, and you think about things. And a lot of times we our STE likes to think about the worst case scenario, that this could happen. Well, yeah, it could, but what you going to do about it? Huh? What you going to do about it if it does? There's no sense in fearing. See. All that does is distract you in regards to the real issue at hand, and that's to maintain focus in regards to dealing with the situation. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Many of these became political prisoners of their time. And it wasn't Satan himself that came in and incarcerated them. It was negative volition. Operating under the satanic agenda in regards to the early church, as he loved to do things to stir the cosmos up in a negative reaction to the truth, no matter what aspect of it may be. That you may be tested. See, all this is for their test here as a local church, to continue to persevere. And you will have a tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the wreath of life. Again, the wreath of life is mentioned in regards to the patient endurance, a blessedness of enduring under one's testing. See. H, the formula for memorizing in regards to testing, is Bible doctrine first plus testing, fielding the things that have happened to us in life plus application of the doctrine equals divine good. Obviously being in fellowship. You put those things together, you produce a divine good, and all the incurrements, all of the SG3 is placed into your account. That SG3, which is already in existence, is there. Christ is going to bring it with him when he returns for us at the rapture, our share of the inheritance. And it's like this big, huge pile of gold coins or diamonds or whatever. And all the little separate accounts are set up. Every time we get in fellowship, we're applying Bible doctrine, divine good. Money is being transferred from that which is available, the bank. And God's bank is inexhaustible. And it's put into our account. And we are building up over time a savings account that is going to be translated in regards to our investment for eternal reward. So I, the believer's divine good, will then be tested at the bema. That is when everything will be shook out. And truly, what is divinely authored and supported versus that which is human good, etc. It'll be boiled out of the mix. And the primary passage, one of the primary passages dealing with SG3 in this particular situation at the Bema is the 1 Corinthians passage 3. Verse 12, now if any man builds upon the foundation, the true gospel, saving faith, faith without works, now you're a citizen. Now you have the past. You have all the spiritual accoutrements necessary to serve God in time and to enhance your new eternal existence that is secured, cemented forever. And if we build on that, appropriately, with gold, silver, precious stones. That is with things of value. That is Bible doctrine applied in fellowship versus wood, hay, and straw. That illustrates all the worthless things that the SCA and human viewpoint produces. One is an element when exposed to heat is usually made more valuable. Such as certain metals, etc. The other, when it's exposed to heat, basically goes up in smoke. Up in smoke. They ought to make a movie named that. Each man's work will become evident. What you did with your Christian life, no matter how it may have looked towards others, will truly be manifested. It'll be brought out completely. All aspects of it. That which, the things, that time in which we were in fellowship and application to Bible doctrine versus when we were running on our sin natures. See? In disobedience to God's plan. For the work, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it. The day looks at the period of time in which the bema seat will occur. Obviously, there's a lot of believers that are going to be going through this process. But the fact that we're in a spiritual state will be outside of time. But here on planet Earth, the implication is it's just like a day passes here on this planet in regards to the time spent to do all this. But it emphasizes that time period in which all of us, in regards to our phase two applications, our work will be evaluated. And it'll It'll come to the surface exactly what it was we did, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work, whether there will be a literal fire. We'll wait and see. No reason to think that there wouldn't be. Though it does have, obviously, metaphorical symbolism and symbolism attached to it. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, verse 14, he will receive a reward. So it's like the visual is like gathering up all your works as if you could put it in a tangible form. And you throw it into the fire. It's exposed to the fire. It passes through like a furnace. And when it comes out, whatever comes out the other side of your applications, your works, that you will receive rewards for. Those things that have already been obviously paralleling, accumulated in your account in time. And if any man's work is burned up, wood, hay, and stubble, or straw, he will suffer loss. There is a real deliverance associated with the bema seat. That is a deliverance from loss of reward. See? Often people probably don't look at it as a deliverance, if you don't, if you are delivered from a loss of investment, you see it as a deliverance. See? No, it's a real deliverance. And the loss is all that the SG3 attributes and contributes to the resurrected believer for all eternity. Otherwise, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Looking at the fact that they're still believers. Maybe some believers will go in with nothing apart from saving faith. And whatever few seconds they might have spent, you know, in fellowship or whatever, after saving faith before they engage in an act of sin. So you have the normal rewards of heaven. That's why the bema seat is looked at more as a reward ceremony rather than a type of judgment, even though your works are judged, because you still go on to heaven. You still have your passport. You are a citizen. You're a citizen through adoption. Jesus Christ is the natural citizen. You'll go on to phase three, on through phase three in that regards. But your position, just as we have and know and understand in life, of having different levels financially, etc., so it will be in the eternal state in regards to believers in the economy, the eternal economy of God, and serving with Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, let's take our break.